I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. This is Democracy Now!
I did not know Jeffrey Epstein. I never went to his island. I never went to his homes. I never went to his offices. So it's on the record numerous times.
Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is grilled by members of the House Oversight Committee. President Bill Clinton's testifying today, the first time a former president testifies before a House panel in over four decades. Meanwhile, questions are mounting over files missing or withheld by the Justice Department containing accusations of sexual assault of a minor by President Trump. We'll speak with Barry Levine, author of The Spider, Inside the Tangled Web of Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. Then to the ICE arrest of a Columbia University student Thursday.
Shortly after 6 a.m., five federal agents from the Department of Homeland Security, without any kind of warrant, entered an off-campus Columbia residential building. The agents gained entry by stating they were police searching for a missing child.
The student was released after New York Mayor Zoran Mamdani met with President Trump at the White House yesterday. In addition to her release, Mamdani asked for help in dismissing four other cases, three of them Columbia or former Columbia University students. We'll speak with one of them, graduate student Mohsen Madawi, then to Buffalo, where a blind Burmese refugee dies outside in the cold after Border Patrol agents took him into custody inexplicably, then released him without informing his family.
Department of Homeland Security, Border Patrol, in ICE, they don't know what they're doing. Border Patrol officers had no protocol of what to do with a disabled man who doesn't speak English, who is confused and lost. And you know what they did? They dropped him at a closed coffee shop.
We'll speak with a Buffalo reporter. And finally, former Congressmember Cori Bush is running for Congress again. She'll join us in New York.
I ran for Congress to change things for regular people. I'm running again because St. Louis deserves leadership that doesn't wait for permission, doesn't answer to wealthy donors, and doesn't hide when things get tough.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. U.S. and Iranian officials have concluded another round of indirect talks over Iran's nuclear program without a breakthrough, though a mediator cited significant progress in the Geneva negotiations. Iran's foreign minister said afterwards, further technical talks are scheduled for next week in Vienna, the home of the International Atomic Energy Agency, and that progress toward a deal had been good. The talks came after President Trump assembled the largest fleet of warplanes and aircraft in the Middle East in decades, ahead of possible U.S. strikes on Iran, even though Congress has not authorized an attack. Pakistan's defense ministry declared an open war against Afghanistan's Taliban government as it launched cross-border attacks and airstrikes on the Afghan capital, Kabul. Pakistani officials claimed their attacks killed 133 Taliban fighters, while the Afghan government claimed its counterattacks killed 55 Pakistani soldiers. 13 civilians were reportedly killed in a refugee camp near the Torkham border crossing, including women and children, with several others wounded.
Something fell, and I thought it had landed on top of our tent. My wife's hand was injured badly, and my nephew was injured too. Both are now lying in the hospital in critical condition.
The escalation follows weeks of violence along Pakistan's 1,600-mile-long border with Afghanistan. The fighting has largely shut land border crossings, worsening Afghanistan's already dire humanitarian crisis. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says another round of negotiations with Russia will likely take place in Abu Dhabi in early March. His remarks came after U.S. and Ukrainian officials wrapped up talks in Geneva Thursday, where they discussed post-war reconstruction and an economic package for Ukraine. Ahead of the talks, Russia launched a massive drone and missile attack against multiple cities in Ukraine, wounding 23 people, including a child. This is a resident whose apartment building in Zaporizhzhia was attacked by Russia.
It's been 4 years and they still haven't ended the war. We want this. We want them to reach an agreement, but there are no agreements. And now we don't know where to go or what to do. Our apartment is completely ruined.
A congressional committee is deposing former President Bill Clinton today over his connection to serial sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. This comes after former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton denied ever meeting Epstein or knowing of his crimes during separate closed-door testimony to the House Oversight Committee Thursday, which the former Secretary of State and presidential candidate denounced as partisan political theater. Hillary Clinton spoke to reporters in Chappaqua, New York, after her closed-door deposition, which she had called to be open.
I never met Jeffrey Epstein, never had any connection or communication with him. I knew Ghislaine Maxwell casually as an acquaintance. But whatever they asked me, I did my very best to respond.
Democrats on the House Oversight Committee have called on President Trump to also be deposed following mounting reports that key documents related to a woman who accused Trump of assaulting her while she was a minor are missing from the Justice Department's release of the Epstein files. This is Democratic Congressman Robert Garcia.
This committee has now set a new precedent about talking to presidents and former presidents. And we're demanding immediately that we ask President Trump to testify in front of our committee and be deposed in front of oversight Republicans and Democrats.
We'll have more on the Epstein files after headlines with investigative journalist Barry Levine, author of The Spider, Inside the Tangled Web of Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. In Gaza, Israeli drone attacks on two police stations killed at least six Palestinians overnight. One attack struck police posts in the Berej refugee camp in central Gaza. The other hit a police checkpoint in the Al-Muassi area of Khan Yunis. Palestinian officials say Israel's violated the U.S.-brokered ceasefire that began last October more than 1,600 times, killing over 600 Palestinians. Meanwhile, Israel's continuing attacks on southern Lebanon in violation of a November 2024 ceasefire agreement with Hezbollah. Lebanese officials reported 13 Israeli airstrikes on Thursday, including an attack on the Bekaa Valley that killed a 16-year-old Syrian boy. In New Jersey, a dangerous car chase involving ICE agents who attempted to make an arrest Thursday ended in a multi-vehicle crash in Newark that left three children injured. Newark Mayor Ross Baraka condemned ICE's operation as reckless, saying New Jersey state law prohibits law enforcement from engaging in car chases unless there's an immediate threat. In a statement on social media, Mayor Baraka said, quote, based on the damage they're inflicting on our communities, ICE has no business engaging in chases at any time, anywhere, but especially in densely populated areas and on roads still being cleared from a significant snowstorm, he said. Mayor Baraka was arrested last year while protesting outside the troubled New Jersey Delaney Hall ICE jail. The charges were later dismissed. Here in New York, a Columbia undergraduate student detained by ICE agents who used false pretenses to get into her off-campus residential building was released hours later after Mayor Zohran Mamdani intervened with President Trump at his meeting at the White House. Eli Agieva, who's from Azerbaijan, was arrested Thursday morning when ICE agents entered the building without a warrant under false pretenses. Columbia's acting president, Claire Shipman, said security cameras captured the agents in the hallway showing pictures of an alleged missing child. Agieva posted about her arrest early that morning on Instagram saying, quote, DHS illegally arrested me. Please help. We'll have more on this story later in the broadcast. Agyeva's release from ICE custody came shortly after New York City Mayor Zoran Mamdani appealed directly to President Trump as he made his second visit to the White House since his historic election victory in November. On Thursday, Mamdani also gave White House Chief of Staff Susie Wiles a list of four current and former students targeted by federal immigration authorities and asked the administration for help on dismissing their cases. They are Mahmoud Khalil, Yunseo Chung, Mohsen Madawi, and Lakah Cordia, all detained after they joined pro-Palestine protests. Lakah Cordia is the only one who remains detained nearly a year after her arrest at an ICE jail in Texas. We'll speak with Columbia graduate student Mohsen Madawi later in the broadcast. At the White House, Mayor Mamdani also pitched an ambitious new housing project for New York City. He hailed the meeting as productive and shared a photo on social media with President Trump in the Oval Office, holding a mock version of the New York Daily News with the headline, "Trump to City, Let's Build." The mayor's office said in a news release, the city is seeking some $21 billion in federal grants for the housing project, which Mamdani touted as the largest housing and infrastructure investment in New York City in more than 50 years. Access to affordable housing was at the center of Mamdani's campaign. In media news, Paramount Skydance is poised to acquire Warner Brothers Discovery after Netflix declined to match Paramount's $111 billion offer. Netflix ended its bidding war shortly after CEO Ted Sarandos visited the White House on Thursday afternoon, where he met with top officials, including Chief of Staff Susie Wiles. Paramount's offer still requires regulatory approval in the U.S. and Europe. If completed, it would create the largest media conglomerate in U.S. history, spanning news, sports, movies, video games, theme parks, and more, all controlled by Paramount Chair David Ellison, a vocal supporter of President Trump. The deal would include acquiring CNN, consolidating Ellison's news empire, which already now includes CBS News. And the FBI has fired about a dozen more agents tied to the investigation into Trump's mishandling of classified documents at Mar-a-Lago after he left office in 2021. The purge by FBI Director Kash Patel comes as he faces mounting criticism over his use of a government jet to travel to the Milan Olympics, where he was filmed chugging beer in the locker room with the U.S. men's hockey team after their gold medal win over Canada. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now! Co-host Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
We begin today's show with the latest on the Epstein files. Former President Bill Clinton is testifying today before a congressional committee over his connections with serial sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. This comes after Hillary Clinton denied ever meeting Epstein or knowing anything about his crimes during a more than 6-hour closed-door deposition in front of the House Oversight Committee Thursday. Clinton spoke to reporters in Chappaqua, New York, yesterday after the closed-door deposition.
I never met Jeffrey Epstein, never had any connection or communication with him. I knew Ghislaine Maxwell casually as an acquaintance. But whatever they asked me, I did my very best to respond.
In her opening statement, Clinton denounced the process as partisan political theater and accused House Republicans of using her as a prop to, quote, distract attention from President Trump's actions and to cover them up despite legitimate calls for answers, end quote. Democrats on the House Oversight Committee have called on President Trump to also be deposed following mounting reports that key documents related to a woman who accused Trump of assaulting her while she was a minor, those documents missing from the Justice Department release of the Epstein files. According to an NPR investigation, the missing files include 53 pages of FBI interviews and notes from conversations with the woman who claimed she'd been sexually assaulted by both Trump and Epstein in the 1980s when she was just 13 years old. This is Democratic Congressman Robert Garcia.
We want to understand right now where the missing FBI files are. These are files that accuse the President of the United States about serious accusations around sexual abuse. And the fact that they're not in the files and have been apparently either removed or discarded is incredibly concerning. And so we're calling on Attorney General Pam Bondi to immediately release those files. And lastly, I want to also add that this committee has now set a new precedent about talking to presidents and former presidents. And we're demanding immediately that we ask President Trump to testify in front of our committee and be deposed in front of oversight Republicans and Democrats.
Meanwhile, the fallout from the Epstein files continues with a wave of resignations of powerful leaders in business, academia, and politics over their ties to Epstein. On Thursday, President and CEO of the World Economic Forum, Jorge Brende, said he was resigning. On Wednesday, former U.S. Secretary of the Treasury, former Harvard President Larry Summers, said he would resign as professor at Harvard University at the end of the semester. Also Wednesday, former Nebraska Democratic Senator Bob Kerry confirmed he'd resign from his role as chair of a clean energy startup. Nobel laureate Richard Axel also announced his resignation Tuesday as co-director of Columbia University's Neuroscience Institute over his association with Epstein. And Bill Gates has also apologized to the staff of the Gates Foundation over his ties to Epstein. For more on all of this, we're joined by Barry Levine, investigative journalist, author of the book The Spider, Inside the Tangled Web of Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. Barry, thanks so much for being with us. Let's start off with these testimonies yesterday and today of the former president and first lady, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. She had wanted, she said, open hearing, but it was closed door in Chappaqua, where they live. Can you explain the significance of what's taking place with this hearing and then move on to the missing DOJ? Department of Justice FBI files?
Sure, absolutely. I think, first of all, we're going to see the video of her testimony, as we saw with Jeffrey Epstein's patron, Leslie Wexner. Recently, they released it the day after. We should get the videotape of Hillary Clinton's testimony today. Bill Clinton is testifying today. We should get his video of his testimony tomorrow. I think, first of all, that it's important for the sake of the survivors that we get accountability in this case. This is something they've been demanding for two decades now. Certainly, the more we can learn about individuals' interactions with Jeffrey Epstein and what they may have witnessed or what they may have been told by him is certainly important to the survivors. I think, however, that there's many other individuals in this particular case who are more important to getting to than former President Clinton or even our current president, Donald Trump. Both men have never been accused directly by any of the survivors that have done extensive interviews with the FBI and the SDNY. Now, of course, both spent time with him, so it is important to learn about their experiences with him. But I do think right now for the Oversight Committee and the administration, this is part of a bit of a political theater that's taking place. Certainly with Hillary, who, as we know, never met him directly. You know, to me, it was wasted time when there's other individuals much closer to the case that we need to hear from.
And Barry Levine, what do you make of this of the allegations that of these interviews, FBI interviews with a young woman who claimed she was assaulted when she was 13, and the fact that these have not been released?
No, that's a very good question, and it's important that the DOJ doesn't hold back documents from the law that the Transparency Act law on these files that President Trump signed into law. The public and the survivors are entitled to see all the documents, including these FBI, what's called FBI 302 witness reports. These are interviews that were conducted. They should not be missing. There's no question about that. And I'm thankful that NPR and a couple other news organizations pointed that out. And the DOJ says that they are looking into that. So we will see, hopefully, the missing files. Now, I have to say that as someone who has investigated this case for two decades, as an investigative journalist and then the author of my book, The Spider, I did devote a page and a half to this woman's allegations that came in a lawsuit in 2019 following Jeffrey Epstein's arrest. I do want to see the specifics. I think, however, that the timeline doesn't appear to be correct because the allegations center on actions that she claimed took place with Jeffrey Epstein and former President Trump back in the 1980s, specifically in the 1983 to 85 range. All of my reporting shows that former president or that Donald Trump didn't interact with Jeffrey Epstein until around 1987, both in Palm Beach, Florida, and in New York. They continued to see one another socially for the next 15 years.
But Barry Levine, isn't the issue more that the, I mean, all of these are allegations. We don't know what is true, but that all of the allegations against Epstein by this woman who alleges she was sexually assaulted by Epstein and also Trump, the ones on Epstein, they remain in the files. People can come to their own conclusions, but the documents around Trump were removed, and the DOJ says they're not involved in any investigation and that they released all the files. So that's the point. Why were they removed? Not whether they're true or not.
Yes, I agree. I mean, we should be able to see whether these allegations are true or not. And of course, we need to continue to do fact checking, as I have started to do on this particular case, and find issues with the timeline. We still need to see the files. And there's no question that that something is wrong here in terms of the Trump administration's DOJ. If there are and the law specifically states that material related to men in these files, even if they're embarrassing to these individuals in terms of allegations, whether they're true or not, need to be made available to the public and to the survivors for the sake of accountability. So we do need to see each and every document. The only thing that they can hold back that they say could be privileged would be sensitive information related to national security. And we know that Jeffrey Epstein was involved with many other countries. There's allegations that he may have even been a foreign asset for Israel, for Iran, for Russia. However, we're talking about incidents that took place domestically involving this woman. So there would be no national security related to these documents. So by all means, we should see each and every sentence, no matter how embarrassing the statements are made by this woman against both Jeffrey Epstein and Donald Trump.
And Barry Levine, based on your years of investigation of Epstein, what remains to be uncovered about his influence and his accomplices that you have not yet seen reported or gleaned from the documents so far released?
Yeah, good question. There's still 2 million files that still haven't been released. I can't believe that each and every one of those files is related to national security. Why they're holding back, why the DOJ is holding back these additional documents, this is something that's been raised by Thomas Massie and Ro Khanna, the co-sponsors of the transparency bill. So we need to see everything be released. In addition to that, we learned something very disturbing recently from these files, and that is that Jeffrey Epstein hid possible evidence in six storage lockers around the country. He had private investigators take material out of his homes before the police raids took place. This is going back as early as the police raid in Palm Beach, Florida in 2005. Material was taken out, computers, CDs, videotapes, all different types of evidence, 29 address books. We don't know to this day if the FBI ever recovered that information in those storage lockers. And it seems to me, based on my reporting, that Jeffrey Epstein was tipped to the first police raid on his home in Palm Beach, Florida in 2005, December 2005, and he had this material removed. So we don't know what's in that material. We don't know if there's additional incriminating videotapes involving any of the 20 men that Representative Thomas Massie said were allegedly trafficked by Jeffrey Epstein. Rich and powerful individuals, six billionaires, a political government official, someone else in politics, people in entertainment. There are men who are out there who took part in the sex trafficking that have not been brought to justice. And for the sake of closure for the victims, we need to see more by the DOJ in terms of the possible apprehension of these individuals.
I mean, very interesting that the House Oversight Committee went to Chappaqua, to the hometown of the Clintons right now, to grill them, the Republicans overwhelming there. I think there were almost 60 people who went up. But it came to Les Wexner, who may have bankrolled the pedophile criminal Jeffrey Epstein. When the House Oversight Committee went to his Ohio mansion, no Republican member of Congress, may have bankrolled him to the tune of over $1 billion, went to talk to him.
That's absolutely correct. Really, the money that Epstein was able to use to bankroll his sex trafficking ring for two decades really came from Leslie Wexner. Leslie Wexner was listed as a possible co-conspirator. He denies all wrongdoing. He says he never saw or witnessed any sexual abuse by Jeffrey Epstein with any victims. And the DOJ, the SDNY, never filed any actual charges against Leslie Wexner. But he was certainly an important individual to get to. Coming up in March, the Oversight Committee is going to depose two very important men in Jeffrey Epstein's life, Darren Indyke, his longtime Jeffrey Epstein's longtime lawyer, and Richard Kahn, his longtime accountant, who were with Jeffrey Epstein, worked for him for many, many years. These were men that intricately knew about Jeffrey Epstein's finances, his lifestyle, monies that were being sent out that presently Senator Ron Wyden is looking into in terms of more than $1 billion of suspicious wire transfers that took place over the years. So these men should be very enlightening in terms of what we learned from them. And as I said, I do think I think it's valid to call President Trump. He spent in 2 years, he traveled on between 16 and 27 flight legs with Jeffrey Epstein, socialized with him on these two trips to Africa and also Asia and Europe. As I said, he has not been accused directly by any of the victims that we have investigated. So I don't think we're going to learn any significant bombshells from his deposition today. But again, I think that calling both of them, you know, was really about Donald Trump going after his perceived enemies.
Barry Levine, I want to thank you for being with us. Investigative journalist, author of the book The Spider, Inside the Tangled Web of Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. Coming up, a Columbia